The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
There was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and he said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do the signs that you are doing unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Amen, amen, I say to you, unless one is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man once grown old be born again? Surely he cannot re-enter his mother's womb and be born again, can he? And Jesus answered, Amen, amen, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. What is born of flesh is flesh. What is born of the Spirit is the Spirit. Do not be amazed that I have told you that you must be born from above. The wind blows where it wills, and you can hear the sound that it makes, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
There are a couple of teachings in this. There's more than a couple, but I want to focus on two in this gospel. It kind of helps us to sort of take a proper understanding also of Scripture, which is not crudely literalistic, but it takes the message seriously. So we'll kind of see that illustrated in these two examples. But notice Jesus says to Nicodemus, he says, unless one is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, that's one way to translate what Jesus says. The Greek verb here, pothen, can mean from above or can mean again. It can mean either one of these two things. Notice the way Jesus says it. Amen, amen, I say to you, unless one is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. And Nicodemus says, he answers him rather strangely. He says, how can a man once grown old be born again? And you see, that's the play on the word. I think our translators here may have, well, I wouldn't say they've erred, but I don't know that I agree with their interpretation. I think what Jesus should be quoted as saying here is, unless one is born again, one cannot see the kingdom of heaven. And then Nicodemus answers, how can I be born again? Do I need to crawl back into my mother's womb and so on? Okay, and I think that's kind of the way I would probably have translated this. However, I'm not a Greek scholar. Warning. Amateur Greek scholar alert. But anyway, what we've got here, though, is notice how Nicodemus interprets the Lord Jesus in a very crudely literalistic way. What do you mean? I got to crawl back into my mother's womb? You know, I mean, as though, come on, be serious, Nicodemus. Now, what Jesus invites him to do or to understand is that in fact, what he means is that we have to receive new life from God. Now, so therefore, how would we today avoid interpreting this passage in a crudely literalistic way and yet take it seriously? Well, fundamentally, it comes down to this, that when we were baptized, we died. Our old self died, and a new self came to be. Now, again, not in a crudely literalistic way, as if to say, well, all your vital signs ceased and, someone else took your place or something. But rather, your old self did, though, really die, and has been put to death, and a new self came alive. Now, what happens, though, is that most Christians do not think of themselves this way. They do not consider that they have really received a new life. You know, to be born again means to receive a completely new life. And how many Christians really think of their life that way? You know, again, most, unfortunately, are kind of settled into mediocrity. They sort of figure, well, I guess it's okay to be angry and hate my boss and be furious with my wife most of the time and be crazy angry with my kids and take three martinis to settle down and get it the next day. And I guess that's okay. I guess that's just how most people are. And do you really think Jesus Christ died on the cross to kind of give you that sort of a mediocre kind of grasp on life? That you really don't love anyone? You just tolerate and you're just hacking it through the day and you need three martinis to calm down so you can go to bed? I mean, is that really the life Jesus died to give you? And of course, the answer is no. He died to give us a completely new life where we actually love people, even people that trouble us, where we actually don't need three martinis. I mean, have a glass of wine or a martini, fine, but I mean, we don't need it, to to calm down like that. And you see, the idea is that the Lord is giving us something new. Now, unfortunately, most people don't think they're really called to live victorious lives, you see. But see, in taking a text like this seriously, the Lord really does mean what he says. Not in a crudely literalistic way, but he really means you have got to die and be born again. You've got to be born all over again, receive a completely new life, and that's what he's offering us. And that's the invitation for the Christian to discover that my old self, with its vital signs, is dying, and my new self is coming alive. And I love more, I'm more compassionate, I'm kinder, I'm becoming victorious over sin and other negative forces in my life. I'm less depressed, discouraged, I'm more confident, I feel more joyful, and so on. This is the new life that the Lord is offering to you, you see. But I would argue to you that most of the people that sit in our pew probably don't really expect that. Their relationship with the Lord. And part of that's my fault. Maybe I don't teach it enough. You know, I mean, I can't teach it every Sunday. You know, there's different topics we have to cover too. But you see, the point is that you are invited to receive a brand new life. So again, notice what we're trying to do here is we don't take the Lord's words here about being born again in a crudely literalistic sense like Nicodemus tries to about crawling back into our mother's womb, as though that were possible, and being born again, but rather receiving, though, this new life. We do take him, I wouldn't say literally, but we take him quite seriously to mean what he says, which is you are to receive a new life. See, and sadly, yes. And I'm going to be doing two priest retreats this coming year, one in July and the other in September, and I'll be certainly talking to my brother priest about we've got to preach this more. People should have high expectations of their relationship with the Lord, you see, and they really ought to be seeing victories because of what Jesus Christ has done. So that's the normal Christian life, to be living a victorious life over sin and death. Now the second thing here is that again the Lord says, he says to him, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, they cannot enter the kingdom of God." Now, here again, we could interpret the Lord in a fairly crudely literalistic way to mean that everyone, if not baptized, is going straight to hell. And there are some Protestant, you know, and even some Catholics, not officially, the Catholic Church has never taught this, but there are some Protestants and even some Catholics in the pews anyway, who do think that if a person isn't baptized, they just go to hell. And again, I would argue that's a rather crudely literalistic way to understand. Let me just prove it to you. Jesus is on the cross, and the good thief next to him says, you know, would you please remember me when you come into your kingdom? And the Lord says, you will be with me in paradise. Now, Jesus didn't crawl off the cross or climb off the cross and go over and get water and baptize him, did he? So obviously, he wasn't born by water and the Spirit, if that's understood in a crudely literalistic way. But clearly, what the church understands this to mean is that the normative way for us to enter into the kingdom is through water baptism. And, of course, the faith that goes with it. And we are obliged, if we have any knowledge that we ought to be baptized and we refuse it, well, then we can't be saved. But again, not everybody is able to come to that knowledge to know that they absolutely need to be baptized. And so the Lord must clearly have a way to work with people like this. Obviously, we see this right there with Jesus and the thief on the cross. You know, it's not like God is up there, "I'm sorry you didn't fill out the paperwork. I don't have anything in the baptismal register with your name on it. You know, to hell with you." You know, pardon the expression, but I mean it literally. You see, again, no. Clearly, we are bound by the sacraments, right? But God is not. Now, God can save people other ways. But the Lord is simply saying to us, "Look, I want you to understand something. Part of receiving new life is approaching the life of the church and entering the church through baptism and through the sacraments, through grace, through the preached word of God, through the entire work of the church in your life. You are expected to grow in holiness and thrive in this new life I'm giving you." Now that's the normal Christian life, you see. But there are some people who for various reasons cannot find their way in that way. Now take a Muslim in some village in one of the stands, the Kurdistan or one of those stands, you know, those countries with the STAN at the end, and they're in some deep, you know, Muslim village and they've been taught to to hate Christianity is a terrible, you know, heresy, and they'll never know. Even they maybe actually heard that Christians think you got to get baptized to get saved. I mean, imagine Allah, and so he can never really easily come to a knowledge that he has to be baptized to be saved. But perhaps if he's trying to live a good life and follow the more just, you know, teachings of the Quran and trying his best to seek God as he knows him, God has, God may well work things out for him, you see. Now, that's between him and God. I can't say to you, here's the basis that God will do it on. I can just say to you that a man who couldn't have reasonably come to baptism and lived in the life of the church, God is not, his hands are not tied. God's hands are never tied. God can find other ways. But he can still say to us, this is to you who can come to this knowledge, this is the normal way. I want you to accept water baptism, to enter into the life of faith, the life of the church, and to receive sacraments, and to have the word of God preached to you all your life long through the ministry of the church. That is the normal way. So, it is necessary, we say, for salvation that one should be baptized. However, one could have what we call baptism of desire, not being able or knowing fully or understanding the need for baptism, yet still seeking God as best they understand. There is a kind of baptism of desire evident. And only God can really know if a person has that. You know, we can only just trust that in fact they do. But that, again, that's between them and God. But so again, just two teachings here tonight. I'm going a little longer. I need to end. But first of all, the idea that, look, the normal Christian life is to be completely victorious over so many of the negative things. And the Lord is saying, you got to be born to this new life. That's the normal life. And have high expectations of your relationship with God. So that's teaching number one. Being reborn is not crudely literalistic, crawling back into our mother's womb, but it is very real in that we do die and come to new life. And then again, the second teaching of the necessity of baptism, not understood by the church crudely literalistically. If you don't have your name written in a baptismal register somewhere, too bad, I don't care how good you are, you're going to go right straight to hell. That is not that's crudely literalistic. However, we take seriously the Lord's instruction that we should always seek baptism for everyone we know and strive our best to incorporate them and engraft them into the life of the church. If a person, for whatever reason, doesn't get there in a formal sense, maybe the Lord, you know, he knows. Maybe the Lord will know that they had baptism of desire and still be able to save them. But that's between them and God. We only know what we're supposed to do, and that's to bring people to baptism.